If you see something, say something. At Reply, weird things come with any weird story you find on the web, and you can help make weirdthings.com even weirder. Who is the Martian Emperor? When a giant airship descends on New York City in 1892 and threatens destruction if the world does not submit to the Martian flag, it's up to the mysterious Smith, inventor and adventurer, to find out what forces are at work. To stop the menace, they'll need to enlist the help of Theodore Roosevelt and other early 20th century heroes. It's the second book in Andrew Mayne's The Chronological Man series, and The Martian Emperor combines mystery, airship battles, and backroom Tammany Hall politics, all against the backdrop of a world on the verge of war. You can buy it for only $1 at Amazon or Nook, coming soon to Apple iBooks. It's Andrew Mayne's The Chronological Man, The Martian Emperor, available now on ebook. Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Oh, sorry, we got excited.
Ladies and gentlemen, that scream of delight you heard is not terror, but joy, because we have a very special episode of Weird Things for you tonight.
I'd like to think of this as our, like, equilibrium episode. For the first time, X's and Y chromosomes are in balance, much like midichlorians before.
Well, actually, technically, the X's still outnumber the Y chromosomes, but we don't need to get into that.
I'm not counting redundant X's. I'm okay. The point, yes. All right.
Allowing for redundant X's, the X's and Y's are finally balanced.
The point
in the clearest analogy that there are three girls and three guys on the podcast ever speak.
The point is that we're all on X, and this is the Weird Things podcast.
X marks the spot. G-spot.
That voice you heard, the first, the mannish one, the other mannish one, is Mr. Brian Brushwood.
Hi, beautiful people. I love each and every one of you on a deeply sexual level.
Then there's Mr. Justin Robert Young.
Yo.
You all may remember Weird Things, darling, Bonnie Brushwood.
Hello.
And we're being joined by the two delightful entertainers / comedians, Kim Kim and Frutron.
Yeah, that's right.
Hi, everybody. We're hard.
These of the lovely Hollywood is Hard podcast. Is that what it is?
Web series.
On YouTube.
Web series?
It's really just on YouTube right now until Brad Pitt takes us under.
We have deals for other stuff, but we can't talk about it yet until we make it.
Yeah, smart.
They're a pretty big deal, Brian. I don't know.
It's a big deal right now.
No, I like that. In fact, that's going to be my new response about everything. It's like they're like, oh, you want me to change your oil? And I'm like, look, I've got deals for other stuff, but I can't talk about it, all right?
Why are you changing oil?
Just change.
Like a part-time mechanic?
And I am the indefatigable host, Mr. Andrew Mayne.
Right. Huzzah,
yay!
Andrew Mayne.
Thanks for having us, Andrew.
Oh, man, this takes me back to, like, when I had to, like, you know, go do after-school classes with high school kids.
Oh. Did you touch
like,
him?
Right down to the fact that I'm here.
Yes. That little detail. Boys and girls, we have a very special episode here, and we're gonna play things up a little bit differently, which could mean catastrophic failure, but we'll try. And for our two newcomers here, ladies, the way this works is we talk about the strange and the unusual, and we talk about maybe sometimes hypothetical situations, and we're asked to sort of think what would we do in many cases, or just add in our observations.
And most importantly, I mean, let's face it, the heart of the show is really about wrapping your mind around unbelievable situations and really putting yourself in the possibility of X, Y, or Z happening. And the gold is when it turns
out. A street dog like Bacon.
Go on.
Kind of similar, like a bacon wrapped street dog downtown L.A.?
Yeah, in fact, that's actually what we put in the iTunes description. It's weird things. It's like a bacon wrapped street dog on in LA.
That's bacon for weird and brain for hot dog.
Exactly.
Can you wrap your mouth around that?
So speaking of food, let's start with our first question. This is more of a thing. We're going to go around the table here, and we're going to ask everybody to sort of offer their own opinion on this. Valentine's Day, time of love, where you reflect back on what the ones around you mean to you. Now, in some cultures, there are a lot of different bizarre rituals associated with love. There are a lot of bizarre religious rituals. And let's cross one of those, the human sacrifice.
Instantly to the human sacrifice. Go ahead.
Well, speaking of Valentine's, you may remember one of science fiction's greatest characters is Michael Valentine Smith from Stranger in a Strange Land.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
One of the customs they brought back from Mars was the idea of ritual cannibalism, cannibalizing the ones you love after they pass away as a way to make them part of you. We'll start off very quickly. Brian, we'll just show you how it's done.
You had
a choice, okay? You or Bonnie. Would you rather Bonnie eat your dead corpse or she eat your dead corpse?
I think I know the answer to this.
Can I ask a clarifying question
before he answers?
All right, go ahead.
Is it like that one of them dies now, like there's no choice, like when they die now, or is it once they've reached the end of their natural lives?
Oh, good question.
Now.
Okay, now? So 5 minutes to decide and go.
All right. Well, the answer is obvious because I'd rather die now so that Bonnie eats my corpse and so that in future space ghost land, I turn to Justin Robert Young. I'm like, see, she's totally eating me.
I knew that's where you're going to go with that.
Really?
I did. I knew from the very beginning that you'd be like, yeah, I get one less, you know, experience that... There's 10-year-olds listening, so.
All right.
I need to back out of this slowly.
So what about you, Bonnie? Would you rather die and have me eat your body or have me die and you eat my body?
My body lies over the ocean.
Yeah.
My opinion is that it's a very convenient way to deal with bodies. Because if we're just dead meat, right, it's like really awkward because then, I don't know, like just burying them in the ground is... You know, how much land do we really want to devote to...
Man, you're really puttering around answering this question, aren't you?
Come on, answer it.
So, you or me?
Yep. I eat you or you eat me?
I think... I don't know. It's whoever would provide better for the children. So...
First of all, so obviously me would be better as fuel to keep you alive.
Yes.
For the kids.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you could probably hunt down and catch things. You're a little more clever.
No, you know what I could do is I could
catch
hunt down
things like minnows and goldfish.
Wait a minute. I could just hunt down a new man, and then he would provide. So I think I'll eat you.
Value over replacement husband. Number one, like when we go out and catch things, one of you is dying. We're not, you know, devolving into a post-apocalyptic hunter-gatherer society. Like you just find some new dude. Get on OK Cupid. Boom. Problem solved. This is like a long weekend problem.
Plenty of fish in the sea.
It works. Frutron, Kim.
Frutron, great Valentine's
what do you guys
question,
got?
Huh, Brian?
Where would you draw the line? Cannibalism.
Well, it depends on what Frutron is wearing when she dies.
Mm. Well,
I shower like once every 2 weeks. So. Well, if she were to shower on that day that she would die, I would totally eat her because she's got some really great skin. And I think there's some meat under there that I could really be nourished from. And if I hear that if you consume the body that you're going to eat, you also encompass their magical powers. And Frutron's like the funniest person I know, so I would probably be a funnier person if I ate her.
Well, what's the purpose of surviving? Is it to like... Like, why do we care if we survive or not?
Continue living?
Yeah.
Eat me. I'm cool with that. I'll take out it however I can get.
So you realize that by pitting Frutron and Kim against each other, that now the decision becomes the next couple is Justin Robert Young and Andrew Main. So you guys are lost in the woods. Who eats whom?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously one person is going to be more food, so I think Andrew would have to sacrifice himself.
Let me put it this way, okay?
Wait, hold on. Who is really more food?
Let's be honest here. Before the question comes up, before it's even dawned in Justin's tiny, tiny little mind, before he looks over at me and sees me as the cartoon steak, he's going to step right into my little snare. And I promise you, Justin, it'll be quick and you'll be unconscious before you realize it. Ooh. As a friend.
Number one, there's no way I stick with Andrew if things go down like apocalypse style in the woods. Like, there's no way I'm letting it get to the point. If we don't find help within 24 hours, it's just going to be, I'm just slipping off while he sleeps. Like, I'll just take my chances alone. I'm not waiting for that turn. Like, I'm not going to think, oh, no, Andrew wouldn't do that to me. Because now I will say this of clear mind, not in the woods, for the internet to be my witness. Andrew would do all of those things. And it was just a matter of him justifying it. And that would take about 2.5 minutes.
It's like, we still have a can of beans here. Why do you got that look in your eye?
You know what it's like to die of exposure alone in the woods.
Hang on, real quick. Just to be clear, am I the only one who said, yes, Bonnie, eat of my flesh to support our children?
I said that.
Yeah.
No, Fruitron said that too.
Well, she said, eat of my comedy flesh so that you may be as funny as I.
No. That was Kimmy Kim, who was desirous of her comedian prowess.
Got it.
I just like being the food.
She makes the Fruitron skin suit, then realizes she can't do the tuck dance.
Yeah, but we've kind of gotten away from this subject, though. I mean, this is like honoring the dead. This isn't actually for survival,
survival,
right?
Survival, yeah.
I tell you what, and I mean,
I would eat any one of you. I would hope any one of you would eat me. Like, seriously.
I'd go to
an honored thing, like if it was like let's say our culture said that you eat your loved ones, I would have no problem doing that. And as for whether or not I would want to be eaten, I'm dead. What do I care? Yeah. Literally, do anything. Throw me into Rape Corpsapalooza and
volunteering for necrophilia too.
That's fine. I don't care. I'm dead. I'm literally dead.
Can I throw us back to an episode where Brian talked about post-apocalypse? The first thing he's doing is taking off the pants.
Well, yes, you know? And that is that stands to this day. And by the way, like preemptively, just in case you're about to announce the apocalypse, my pants are already off.
You can't announce the apocalypse. It's supposed to be sudden.
Oh, no. Fine. I will keep it a secret.
He blows a bugle.
So I do that. So we got happens. Brian wants to go pantsless. Justin is just waiting for like the People magazine article. Like, hey, you know, cannibalism. It's in now. And he's like, finally.
I'm not saying I want to. I'm saying that if society
dictated it,
I would totally do it. And I think any one of us would too.
Agreed.
No.
Wait.
No.
We would.
No.
If it was socially acceptable, hell yeah.
Well, yeah, dude, we'll do anything if it's socially acceptable.
People meat tastes good. Yes.
These ladies have it together right here. I'm going to say it's totally bogus to be like, oh, everyone will do it. You know, it's like the fact is the only reason we're not all doing it right now is because as a society,
Lindsay Lohan isn't.
We've decided that it's horrific, right? And so it's like, I'm not going to say.
Brian puts that horrific in air quotes.
No, I mean, I'm serious. It's like, I don't understand why it's not horrific. I mean, religions have been founded on the idea of eating your God, drinking his blood.
Oh.
Wait.
But Brian, I think it's not that society's deemed it horrific.
They have. Say
society rightly deemed it unsafe. And so therefore it became taboo because eating human flesh was, you know, not a safe thing to do.
We didn't know that it was unsafe until like 40 years ago when we found out that eating brains, you know, put kuru on you.
No, exactly. I mean, like, we knew it was unsafe when people ate flesh and died. Like that's how society gets built, is that that's, you know, our own social evolution.
I think somebody probably figured out that, you know, old Joe's never been right since he ate his wife, and it's just... I'm not doing
it. See, and I'll tell you what, it's had ramifications on the social scene as well. And there are ladies who have been unsatisfied as a result.
Wait, so is woman meat different? Like, since we're, I mean,
Well, I think traditionally you have a white wine instead of a red
right.
with lady meat. And also, you want a lighter vegetable like Brussels sprouts.
Or fish.
Typically? I don't know. Yeah, maybe you're right.
Did someone say seriously?
I'd have like I would have a Shiraz with your meat, Bertrand.
Yeah. No, that's a good pairing. Good pairing, Kim. I like that. Yeah. You should put that on Pinterest. Like
ooh, ooh. You hear that? Something's getting funky up in this piece. Someone crack a window. I think it's the Joints. A premier post-jazz group based out of Boulder, Colorado. They play all original music, and their debut album was released in December 2011, titled Ink Free Thinker. Listen to that. Ooh. Ooh. Lovely. Oh, here we go. Check them out at The Joints Music. That is TheJointsMusic.com.
In other news, a video surfaced a couple weeks ago depicting what looked like a woolly mammoth crossing a river in Russia.
Oh, thank God.
By the way, this was agonizing for me because I read one set of theories and I'm like, yes, that's clearly what it is. So it's like the first time I look at it, it's like, that's a woolly mammoth. And I'm like, yes, it is a woolly mammoth. And then I read some articles like, well, no, it's a bear with a fish in his mouth. And I read it and I'm like, oh, crap. That is definitely a bear with a fish in his mouth. And then I read another one and be like, no, that's definitely a ripoff of this publicly available high-resolution footage from Siberia with a digital bear added. And then I look at it and I'm like, wow, that is definitely some publicly available high-resolution footage from Siberia with a woolly mammoth digitally added. And I don't know what to think now.
It's fake.
Okay, well, yes.
It's real.
Okay, yes, also that. Yes, it's fake, and it's real. So somebody
Well, apparently Brian will believe the last thing said in this conversation. So let's just keep naming things, and Brian will keep changing his opinion.
I will keep changing my opinion.
For a little bit of backstory, in the early 1990s, there was an anthropologist was around the Arctic Circle talking to a guide as they went to go tour parts of it, and they looked across a river and they saw like 100 or so people with like a herd of reindeer crossing the river and going to an island on the other side. And he says, "You know, who are they?" And they go, "Oh, they're the Nenet." He says, "Who are the Nenet?" It's a tribe of people who live above the Arctic Circle that have no idea about – that time had no idea about the Soviet Empire, had no idea about Russian politics. They'd been there for probably thousands of years. They are basically what you would call an ice age civilization that's been living there forever. And it's like there are 30,000, 40,000 people there living there like this, totally disconnected from the rest of civilization. So the idea that there could be a mammoth walking around there – maybe a little bit harder to believe, but scientists, we've been told now, again, that we may be very close to cloning said mammoth. There are some researchers who say that they're 5 years away from
now,
being able to clone.
Hold on. I mean, it's worth reiterating that they're talking in terms of like mixing DNA from a mammoth with a elephant to create an elephant-mammoth hybrid, and then the farther generation being more elephant-like. Or at least that's how I understand it.
Well, they think they can get enough of a DNA from the mammoth implanted in the nucleus of an elephant egg. So they're looking at they're planning on doing a whole mammoth DNA, put it inside of an elephant egg.
I saw this movie.
That sounds awesome.
What was it called?
Jurassic Park.
It was called Mammoth in Your Face. And it was the porno you were thinking of.
Oh
good Lord.
Wait, I thought there were children watching this.
Oh, oops.
No, porno's the name of Brian's boop. Taiwanese friend. I don't know. My stance on all this is clone all of them. Why clone them all right now? Let's just go. Let's stop.
What do we start
with?
Let's go around the room. What do we, Bonnie? What do we start with? What do you want to clone first?
Oh, what was that extinct bird? The one everybody's always talking about—the dodo.
Dodo.
Archaeopteryx.
No, dodo. It's got a wonderful name.
Dodo. Yeah, the dodo birds. Okay, sure. Dodo birds. That's one of the most famous extinction ever.
Right.
And one that, you know, clearly likely man-caused because, like, you know, they were dumb and easy to club. They'd walk up to sailors like, what are you doing? And they'd be like, beating them on the head. Okay, that's good. Brian, what do you want to bring back?
Dude, it's got to be Neanderthals. Put a Neanderthal embryo in a human woman and be all like, what's up? That's right. It's a Neanderthal. They're smarter than us. Shut up.
Oh,
are they smarter than us?
Well, that's up for debate, isn't it?
Mm. So you lied to the woman that you just impregnated?
Oh, hold on. I may, in fact, be in the middle of lying to the woman that I just impregnated.
Did you know that we know now that Neanderthal DNA survived in our own DNA?
No. We definitely interbred.
And some people have, you know, some people don't have any. I mean, it tends to be European. If your ancestors stayed in Africa, you don't have any Neanderthal DNA.
Oh, dude.
But of Europeans, some of us have varying between like 2-4%. So some of us here could be twice as Neanderthal as somebody else.
I'm looking at one of them.
That's me.
And you,
for our audio listeners, we're all pointing towards one person.
Right.
Hey guys, what's going on? Apparently, I'm smarter than everybody else.
Brian wants you to impregnate his wife.
No. Wait. Actually, what I want to do is secretly impregnate my wife and then lie to her about it. So let's be straight about that.
I know what I want to bring back.
What do you want to bring back?
The Tasmanian tiger, bitch. Tasmanian tiger.
Awesome.
Ladies.
Have you seen the trailer for the new William Dafoe movie?
No.
He plays a hunter trying to track down the last Tasmanian tiger.
Oh, really?
It's called The Hunter. Awesome.
Okay, that's very popular.
The Hunter Who Wanted to Track Down the Last Tasmanian Tiger.
Starring William Dafoe.
Frutron?
Oh, hold on, let me look on the Wikipedia. I'm gonna go with sea mink.
The sea mink.
Yes.
Tell us about the sea mink.
I think we need to start cloning that right now.
What do you know sea about the sea mink? Really good idea, actually. You just dropped beer on your Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pajama pants.
Sorry, I just looked at a picture of the sea mink.
What is a sea mink?
I don't know, but I'm into it now. I'll tell you what, that was the best call so far.
Also known as the sea mink.
That sounds like a great... Somebody register seamink.com. That would be a great startup.
Well,
we have a movie that we're writing called Seamink Sea-Doo.
So basically, it's a mink that likes to swim.
It's about a guy on a sea-doo runs over a sea mink and then throws her in the back and shows her a whole new world.
Dennis. Yes. I have no idea what this is, actually.
All of a sudden, they got on naked.
Can you describe what it looks like? Do you have a picture? Or?
Imagine a mink.
It's North American member of the Mustidae. Whatever that is.
I mean, it's extinct.
I don't have a picture.
I want you to read Wikipedia professionally.
Sea mink.
Oh, do the der voices.
Those imaginary
ones. Sea mink. Wow, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Why didn't I think of that? I'm still for the Tasmanian tiger, though.
I think the Tasmanian tiger is a great choice.
I like doing this, though.
The sea mink is nice, too. Goodness.
No,
the sea mink is all...
The sea mink looks like a beaver. It's kind of like a beaver, but it's actually cute.
It's something you want in your home to pet.
Especially if you live in the ocean.
It's a brown furry, looks like if a woodchuck could be a real...
I think it's from Wichita, Kansas.
Aw. In Kansas?
Andrew?
Definitely came from Kansas.
So, speaking of the sea.
Yes.
Recently, there's been a discovery of an object at the bottom of the Baltic Sea that looks to be maybe about 60 meters across, size of a jumbo jet, roughly round, maybe shaped like the Millennium Falcon.
All right.
Ooh.
Theories?
I think it's actually the Millennium Falcon.
No, it's the government.
What's the government doing?
It's the government building Millennium Falcons. And as we all know, Millennium Falcons can only be built under the sea.
It's Obama cloning himself over and over and over again and then spreading himself out. Duh.
Isn't it? And if you listen to anything besides the liberal media, you would know this.
You mean the same liberal media that's trying to make fun of the idea of a base on the moon?
Yes. It's all part of their plan to have Millennium Falcons be president in 2016.
Exactly. They're saying enough of beyond the stars. We need to focus under the waves to build an army of our president in a Millennium Falcon. Also, here's a picture of Richard Dawkins petting a cat. I'm posting it on Reddit. It just got 450 likes. I'm the liberal media.
All right. So, no, but seriously, number one, yes, it does look awesomely like the Millennium Falcon. Number two, there's got to be a ton of weird things under the sea.
And What I haven't bothered to look up yet, but you know, there are parts of the land between, let's say, France and England, which were above water within thousands of years. You know, thousands of years ago, when people were walking around, and there were villages and settlements that lived there, and there was a whole area that then, as the sea levels rose because of the melting ice caps thousands of years ago, you know, below water, which you kind of wonder about the Baltic. I don't know anything. I know part of the Baltic, I think, you know, was you know, much of it was above land, which you'd be curious to know, like. Could have, you know, probably something natural, but maybe it could have been.
So you're saying it could have been a man-made artifact from ancient peoples that eventually ended up under the sea?
I would say that it's probably not. I don't know anything about the geography of that area, but I know that if we found something between, you know, England and Britain and the English Channel that looked man-made, there would be a high degree of probability that it actually was because, you know, so much of our coastline, you know, is... you know, was actually much further out, miles further out, you know, prior to the ice caps melting.
I think it was a decoy Millennium Falcon sunk by Charles Widmore to throw us off the scent that Han Solo and Chewbacca are on an island with Ben Linus.
I like that.
That was awesome. That was really smart.
Boom. Solved. Next.
Smart. Well, he is the Neanderthal.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. The Neanderthal speaks.
He is smarter than we are. That's why he's extinct, except for Gim.
So we've got a little. We're gonna play a little quiz here. All right.
Yeah. I like quizzes.
If you know the answer to this, shut your mouth.
All right. I'll shut my mouth.
Okay.
Got it. Done.
So, the Russell's pit viper. Russell must have been really proud to have a pit viper named for him. By the way, he was probably ecstatic. Brought one to the high school reunion. You know, hey everybody, what's in the box? Guess. Make fun of me. So the Russell's pit viper has a very, very interesting venom. When it bites you, besides the normal sort of little nerve damage and other things that can happen to you, something special can occur to you. Care to guess?
Yes. Let's
start with Justin.
Got it.
Go.
Macarena.
Macarena.
I go with the chicken dance.
Frutron? Guess.
Wait, Macarena? What?
Wait, when it bites you, the venom does something to you?
Yeah. Does something to you. Has an actual medical thing that can happen to you.
It makes you urinate and have explosive diarrhea and burp at the same time while you rub your belly and pat your head. Pretty sure that's
it. I said if you know the answer, don't tell everybody.
Oh, God! Geez, yeah. You didn't say that. Damn it, man!
Sorry.
I'm on the inside!
Those things may happen, but that's not. What happens?
Yeah. I like Bonnie's chicken dance thing. I can't believe I'm infected with poison. I must be nuts. I'm going to die.
Bonnie, was that your answer, the chicken dance?
Yeah, it's exactly that.
Schwood?
I'm going to say it gives you
superpowers.
Well, some kind of, I actually, that is part of my guess.
I actually have another guess, but I don't know if it's safe for the show.
Well, what's your real guess?
My real guess is it probably, I don't know, it just.
A lover's emission?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. There we go. Yeah.
I think it has something to do with excitability.
I'm
going to
say you involuntarily flex and do push-ups when you get bit by this.
All right, so Jack Russell Viper. What's going on with him?
All right, did Kim, give us a guess.
No, Kim, what do you got?
I was just thinking your body changes to the color of green and purple, green on the top and purple on the bottom.
It's very specific. I like that.
I like it. It's colloquially called the Gurple spider.
Yeah. I couldn't remember the technical term.
The Gurple viper.
So this is what happens. You're walking along, okay? Kim, Fru, you're walking along through the woods. You guys are taking a little hike.
Oh, gosh, these woods are awesome.
Let's go into the woods, all right? All right, who gets bit?
Fruitron.
Oh, God, attack.
I'm so sorry, Fruitron.
I don't know what's happening. I'm just,
I like the way Kim is apologizing. Like, my betrayal is what caused you to get bit by this creature.
She saw the snake, but she didn't tell her.
Okay, all right, gotcha.
How could you not tell me?
I forgot.
You're evil.
I forgot.
So you're going to rush her to the hospital.
Let's take you to the hospital right now.
How are we going
to
get there? I'm bitten. You can't carry me. It's dead weight pretty soon.
I'll cut your arm off, and then I'll take your body.
Hold on. That might be a really good idea.
All right, so
that's efficiency. Her number one goal is I want to save this person. And look, let's face it, we can get 20% more efficiency if we travel without an arm.
Yeah,
arm is gone.
I like that they're dropping limbs like sandbags from a hot air balloon.
Yeah,
like they just need to shed the weight.
Yes. Oh God, my leg too.
I'm getting really tired. Just cut it at the ankle. I think that'll give me another 5 steps.
In 29% of the people who get bit by a Russell's viper who don't get treated quickly enough with anti-venom, because as Kim's trying to find a hacksaw to saw off your limb and not getting you necessary medical treatment, all right, you're quivering on the ground because this anti-venom has affected you. This is what you can look forward to thanks to her indecision. Are you ready?
Ready.
29% of the people, what will happen is you get a condition known as Sheehan's syndrome, okay?
Go on.
Now, what's going to happen is first you're going to feel cold, very, very cold, and a lot of fatigue, very, very fatigue. Just kind of lazy and cold, and you don't want to do anything. And then something else starts to come about. You start to lose your sex drive.
Oh,
it gets better. Your fertility, you're no longer fertile.
Screw that.
Then your body hair goes away.
Goes away.
When were you bit by the snake?
Okay. Everywhere, all of your body hair, okay, and your pubic hair vanishes, falls away, okay. And then women, if you're a man, you're going to lose your facial hair. You're going to lose your muscularity. Women will lose their curves. They'll start to drop weight, but not in a sexy sort of way. And you start to go, maybe lose some of your mental facilities, faculties, okay?
Go on.
They say, technically, in a way, it's like you're losing everything you gained from puberty because your hormones are no longer present in your body.
Are you saying this is a way for us to regain our childlike wonder for the world?
Yes, awesome. And become like doe-face, sexless, bald eunuchs.
So wait. Are boys going to make fun of me again because I don't have boobs?
You'll be dead, dude.
No, yeah, she might not be dead. You know, we'll treat her with hormones and stuff. You know, people are going to think that maybe you're trying to be like, you know, change genders or something.
Well, but to answer your question, Kim, yes, ironing board, we will start making fun of you again.
Oh, you know when I got that joke when I was a freshman in high school, someone said, "Hey, Kimmy Kim, if you didn't have feet, would you wear shoes?" And I was like, "No." And they're like, "Then why do you wear a bra?"
Wow.
Oh my God.
And you're like, Mom, I'm trying to go to school. Why are you saying
that? Kim, can you publicly give out the name of the person who said this so that we can all go and punch him in the balls?
Sam Fisher.
Oh, no.
Wait,
Fisher.
Hold on. Wait.
Your ass is grass.
Isn't that the bad guy from Splinter Cell? I'm not going to go punch him in the balls. Are you kidding me?
Well, you can shoot him. You can defeat him.
No way, dude. Yeah. I'm just going to... You know what? Of all the people, it's like Sam Fisher of Splinter Cell is the one guy who'd be like, yeah, I guess that was pretty funny. I'm going to walk over here now.
No.
Wow, this escalated us discussing the murder of Sam Fisher really quickly, or at least quicker than it usually does on this podcast.
Well, you're laughing now, but let me ask. Do you like space? Do you like listening to weird things? Well, now on the App Store, you can finally combine your two hobbies, Chuckler. Tyak Run, T-Y-A-C-R-U-N. It's a space adventure game where you have 3 lives and 60 seconds to get the best score you can possibly get. Dodge and destroy asteroids and enemy ships. Folks, it's the best fun you can have with a side-scrolling game that was mentioned on the Weird Things podcast. Check it out on iOS. Tyak Run, T-Y-A-C-R-U-N.
So there's a town in Pennsylvania.
No, stop it.
Already this story is improbable.
This is a fable.
May I continue? There's a town in Pennsylvania. Residents have been terrified, have frightened. Maybe not terrified or frightened, but they have seen. They've seen what few of us can claim to see. They've seen an animal that defies description. They've seen an animal that just boggles the mind. Something that does not fit within the textbooks, and it's confused them. They're trying to understand what this is.
Rick Santorum.
A family actually caught this on camera. They put it in a cage, but then it got free.
Ooh.
Some say they set it free. Others say perhaps he used a little mind trick to make them set him free.
Okay, go on.
Chris Angel.
Oh. Chris Cross.
Chris Christopherson.
Chris Christ.
Chris Kringle. Chris Kringle.
Chris, I can't think of a donuts. Chris.
Chris Brown.
Charlie Crist.
There's only been one other like it spotted before, and that was near a school in England. Now, the authenticity of this creature is pretty certain.
Dobby the house elf?
What's that?
Is it Dobby the house elf?
Yes, it is Dobby the house elf. So, our next scenario.
Oh, Andrew May, will you put me in your next Weird Things podcast? I'm qualified.
He made me a free elf, Andrew May did.
He gave me a sock. I'm wearing like a bow tie.
I'm tied around my waist. It's a belt sometimes.
Oh,
well, Dobby, they call me the free elf.
I'm riding in a magical unicorn here, right from Chat Realm.
What did they find in that Pennsylvania town?
No, continue on with your little merriment, please.
Here I am.
We're trying to make jokes on the podcast. What is this goddamn creature? I want to know now.
Are you scared? Are you terrified?
Imagine this. I'm terrified.
You're walking down the street late at night, okay? You've got one street light overhead, and you start to move away from it. The light starts to be dimmer. You see something scurry along the fence. You look at the corner of your eye, and it vanishes. Next, it's on a tree. It runs across the tree, up to a power line, runs across the power line, scurries down a tree again, and stands in front of you in the middle of the street. Now, it may only be 8 inches tall, but there it is. Now it's standing in broad light. You can clearly see what this is. Now, you know your friends will think that you're lying. They're going to think that you're telling some sort of story. So you pull out your camera, and you take a photo, and you show them this. You show them what you found, proof of the paranormal, proof that we are closer to that boundary than we care to realize, proof because you have on there a photo. You actually get video of
hurt feelings.
They do exist.
Go, come on, Jesus.
Sorry.
Don't interrupt. Do you want to know?
I actually have photographic
proof of a purple squirrel.
What?
Hold on. Stuff just got real here. Are you telling me that for real?
The purple squirrel of Jersey Shore, Pennsylvania, ladies and gentlemen. He has been videotaped, he has been captured, and then he has gone free.
They released him just like that on bail? Was he got a connected squirrel
friend?
Could have
been a purple squirrel mind trick, but there's photos of this squirrel, and he is GD purple.
I'm going to freaking look up purple squirrel right this minute.
Me too.
Someone spray painted him. I did that to a pony
once. Yeah, that's not right.
Oh my God, this is a real purple squirrel.
So wait, hold on. This is like a real thing? It wasn't just someone just didn't throw it in a thing of glidden?
I don't know. Well, do you believe? Do you believe the Christian Science Monitor?
Purple.
There are a lot of squirrel. Some photos. He's more purple than others.
Purple squirrel spotted.
It's like the OJ Time Newsweek covers.
Did it fall?
You're saying that they're turning up the up the contrast on this squirrel.
A little bit of purple bias.
Did it
perhaps
fall into a portable toilet? Is what they want to know.
I think it might be something like that.
It's the Christian Science Monitor.
Okay. Well, hold on. Let me find.
Well, no. To be fair, the Christian Science Monitor is a very well respected paper.
Yeah. No. It definitely
like some
is.
Random leaflet
here.
Track.
Here's your MSN.
If they say a squirrel fell into a toilet, then gosh darn it, I believe them.
Here it is from MSNBC.com. Today Tech, purple squirrel.
Oh, he's so cute. Look at him.
By the way, I want you to know that just hearing you say he's so cute, Bonnie was like, I got to see this. And she just came over.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought everyone was looking.
I'm shocked that this wasn't on stage with Nicki Minaj.
It
seems
that
like
Nicki
that's
Minaj.
Where it belonged. Not in the middling Jersey Shore, Pennsylvania. It belongs in Hollywood. Hollywood is hard for this purple squirrel, ladies.
Woo!
You ain't got nothing. Look at him, and he's in a cage. He's born for the stage. He's an animal magnetism.
You know, maybe it is Prince.
It might be Prince. It may, in fact, be a Prince.
But the difference is,
if that squirrel starts belting out Purple Rain, I think we'll really know what's going on.
We need, like, the squirrel chipmunk sound of Purple Rain now.
That squirrel would, like, have, like, slave etched into its fur all on the side.
Dude, imagine it's just, you know, it's like a young girl walking back from a study group that, like Andrew had described. There's just one spotlight. You're, like, one light coming down, and all of a sudden she just hears the whispers of, like, maybe I'm just like my mother. What? Who's there? Huh?
Dude, seriously, look at this purple-ass squirrel. She's so
spun.
It's purple. Yeah, look at it. Look at it.
That's why they call him a purple squirrel, Pride.
Well, I guess no, why just they call me the purple squirrel.
Like, is this a thing? Like, was there once a race of purple squirrels that have dwindled? Is it a total anomaly? Like, what is the deal with this? Does anybody know?
I don't know, but right now I'm looking at Justin Robert Young, and I'm looking at this purple squirrel, and I'm seeing a shocking similarity between the two. Well, I guess that's why they call it the chipmunk see Jew.
Now, we could be, you know, we've already dealt with some people say dubious stories of Sasquatch, or rather Yeti sightings in certain remote Russian provinces that might want to have the... you know, the tourism. Are we going to look at a new spate of people just coloring random animals?
I don't know.
Yes, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Oh, because dude, this is a Disney movie. Imagine, all right, so a town's falling into disrepair. Everybody's losing their jobs. It used to be a factory town, maybe. Like, it used to have some auto manufacturing. You tie it into the economic thing, right? Then all of a sudden, it's like the movie starts going when the school board announces that their budget shortfalls, they're going to have to close down the public schools. And all the kids are going to go hungry and without education.
Wait,
save the town.
This sounds like
how
Pixar.
Do they do it?
This
painting doesn't... animals. They have to find animals, round them up, paint them, and all of a sudden it's like the colorful zoo thing. Maybe some of the animals talk. I'm not sure. Maybe that'll come in the second draft. But right now, you just have a bunch of kids with paint guns. Maybe like the badass kid from the wrong side of the track is using a paintball machine pistol.
Yeah, I totally.
Why can't it be a real BB gun?
I see this as a Pixar cool. film, and then. You know how they like to make you cry at all their films?
Sure.
Like at the end, you find out that all that paint gave all the animals cancer.
So it's like everything goes well. They're like, well, we defeated the developers, but we all have cancer.
Well, no, that's what happens at the end is they have their big thing. It's a big moment. The Today Show comes in. They do a live remote from colorful Animal Central in Michigan or wherever. And then all of a sudden, big rainstorm comes in. Downpour. All the animals start dripping their paint all over the place. Matt Lauer is there on remote, is furious. He's cursing on air. He's throwing his mic at a child's head. It's just nothing but bad news. Then, all of a sudden, from the woods, an army of real colored animals come out. And they're like, we mean colored as in some of us are neon, not black. And, like,
they say, why not black, Justin?
What happened?
Oh, the question was, why not black?
What do you have against black?
Well, because, like, we see black animals all the time.
Right.
Like battle toads.
All right.
You know.
Speaking of animals.
Speaking of racism.
An orangutan at the Cleveland Zoo.
I'm sorry. Wait. You were getting some what at the Cleveland Zoo?
I've been to the Cleveland Zoo.
An orangutan at the Cleveland Zoo. Her name's Kira, by the way. She just had a medical procedure done.
Go on.
Did it give
her the ability to speak?
I would say that it's a very hot button issue right now, and I would care to hear what you guys think about this. What do you think was done to Kira?
I swear to God, if she got breast implants, I'm going to punch someone.
Oh my God. And they were provided for free by the French government.
You know, self-image is very important for all primates. Kim, what was that?
I was hoping I would get breast implants by the French government, but it didn't happen.
Mm. Well, maybe if you move into the Cleveland Zoo, you can figure that one out with Kira the orangutan.
You know, hometown is 45 minutes from the Cleveland Zoo.
That would be amazing to have an adult human woman just move in with a bunch of apes and pretend to be an ape. You're like, why are you doing this? They're like, I'm an ape. And they're like, no, seriously, why are you doing that? They're like, well, I was hoping the French government would give me breast implants.
Thank you.
Justin?
Hey, that's another Disney movie pitch right there. All right, what happened to Kira? If it's controversial, I think that orangutan had a pregnancy terminated.
That's interesting.
I'm going to say.
That's probably.
Bonnie, what do you say?
I think they give it a sex change. She always acted like a dude.
No way.
Is that yours?
An orangutan.
Give me a dog, bro.
What were the signs that the orangutan was giving off that they thought that this would be what they
taking M&Ms and painting on her face?
No. This is a medical procedure.
Yeah. Well, you know, the orangutan preferred blue to pink and showed an aptitude for motor skills beyond what the female gender did and had season tickets to the Cleveland Browns.
Blue.
Is that your final answer, Bonnie?
I think she had
it.
I think it'd have to be some kind of like a plastic surgery.
Yeah.
It's like, we're sorry, you look like an orangutan.
So here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say it's something that ostensibly was for one reason, but had another way to perceive it that was controversial. And I'm actually going to go with Bonnie and say it was essentially, like, I'm going to say she actually had, despite all of the celebrities that claim they have, I don't know, what do they say? They have a problem with their displaced nasal cavity or some crap. But like, she actually had it, so they gave her a nose job.
The orangutan's like, make me beautiful. I want to be pretty. Which the weirdest part of that is that the ape talks.
And then they're like, well, listen, we need to pretend that, like, you had a,
Fruit?
So let's see. We have nose job.
Nose job is my vote.
I'm going to say
sex change is Bonnie's vote.
Breast implants. I'm going to go ahead with surgical.
Deviated septum was what I was trying to think of. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, there you go. Maybe does the monkey have a? Oh wait, ape.
Are you being sensitive to the monkey? I mean, to the ape artist.
Let's just say the orangutan was probably going blind, so they gave it LASIK.
Needed to see what's going on. That's probably the most response we've had here.
It's good.
Yeah.
Shocking, I know. Ladies and gentlemen, they had a specialist come in from a woman's health specialist. She made a house call, and she demonstrated how to implant a birth control device.
Oh, my God. She got an IUD.
Oh, okay. You were
I can't believe it.
The patriarchal zoo curators have said, we're not ready for the Bornean orangutan named Kira to breed, at least not yet. So, forced birth control on orangutan.
So nailed it.
You nailed that?
You said it was an abortion.
I think
that's closest to the pin.
No way.
Yeah, it's totally close.
See, on the other side of the pin, actually, but
well, nobody else was all up in that monkey's womb like I was.
That's so funny. Well, what did the orangutan Pope say about this?
I have to ask Dr. Zayas.
Dr. Zayas said, we are highly disappointed.
The infallible.
We are very disappointed by the decisions of an errant monkey. One of our own has turned against us, for it is written in monkey law that thou shalt get busy whenever possible.
I think we're seeing the next Planet of the Apes movie. This is the rise of the Planet Apes, too. You know, this is the ape eugenics, as we try to stop the tide of apes by forcing them to use birth control.
That is really weird, though. I mean, that just seems like a poor zoo strategy, because if you have an animal that you can't take care of, aren't there other zoos that in general want to take those animals?
Well, I think they want to mix her in. I think she's in with other orangutans, but they aren't ready for her to have a child.
Okay.
And maybe
it just seems like this would be a problem.
She's kind of loose.
By the way, it's definitely an IUD, right? Can we specify that?
The implanted birth control device, yes.
Yeah. Oh, no. That could also be the thing in the arm that, releases over time. Why do I know this?
No, that's not.
Huh?
No.
It releases the hormone over...
An IUD is not...
No, I'm saying an IUD or he said implanted device.
Oh,
which
it's
is
an implanted device.
Why are we having this discussion on weird things?
Well, you know...
It is the Valentine's Day edition, Brian. Yeah.
Oh, my God, we forgot it was Valentine's Day.
I know. Come on. There's all this, not love going on.
Well, I think she's
getting plenty of love. It's just...
The specialist who did the procedure, as a reward, she was given a ride on the back of a tortoise.
Yeah.
What?
Tell me this is true.
This is true. It's absolutely true.
Wait a minute. The specialist who stuck a device.
I'll read this to you.
From a baby-robbing device.
In exchange for her help, the clinic's Dr. Judith Volker was given a backstage tour of the zoo's more exotic animals and got to sit on a giant tortoise.
Dude, if I were that lady, I'd be like, listen, sitting on this thing is awesome, but I'm taking it home. It gives me a ride home. I live on 42nd Street on the second block. Don't forget to make the first right. Go, tortoise.
Hey, everybody, good news for those of us that don't have to worry about this. Apparently, some scientists are saying that there's a huge raging volcano under Death Valley that could blow at any time and wipe out.
No, hold on. I'm tired of hearing about this. I'm tired of hearing about historical landmarks that are about to blow up. How long have we heard about, Yellowstone's got a mega volcano underneath it that's going to destroy the Earth, and now it's Death Valley 2.
Brian, we look back the history of the Earth. I mean, what would make you happy?
I'm just seeing a bunch of Me Too wannabe national monuments all trying to outdo each other. I'm disappointed for one.
Well, we don't have to worry about it, Brian. We're nowhere near there.
Well, you realize if Yellowstone explodes, it'll take out North America.
Yeah, what?
Go away, North America.
No more North America.
So, I like the idea that scientists have known for decades that hidden under those impressive vistas at sites such as Death Valley and Yellowstone National Park are magma pools.
Oh, why are you always hating on the magmas?
I love the magma. Are you kidding?
Hold on.
Dude, great band name, Magma Pools.
Go on. What's up? What's up? Go ahead and explain how the magmas are bad. Go ahead.
I like the magma.
Look, we're not talking about you, but you're about to do some anti-magma propaganda, and we all know it.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Well, like 800 years ago, the Death Valley volcano erupted, and maybe there were some people around there that got killed.
There it is.
Nobody we know.
Yeah, I don't know these people.
I'm sure some of your best friends are magmas. Whatever. All right.
Well, it's cool. Have you ever been to the La Brea Tar Pits?
My sister dated a magma.
La Brea Tar Pits. Actually, I have.
I never dated a magma, man.
I have. It was really so.
I kid you not. When I was 5 years old, I went to the La Brea Tar Pits, and it was awesome.
What I think is really, really cool, besides the La Brea Tar Pits, is if you go across the street to one of the buildings there,
you can get bacon-wrapped hot dogs until they take
Yes, you can do that, too. But if you go into the lowest level in the parking garage, you can actually see tar boiling up through some of the cracks.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. Like, at the freaking place?
Yes. That was when we did the show for G4. I remember parking in the lowest level there and looking, and you could see in this little corner little bits of tar just bubbling up through.
All right. Now break it down like this. Do you like art? Okay, good. Do you like photography? Even better. Do you like poetry? If you said yes to all three, then I need you to right now take your little nimble fingers as fast as you can flick them over to your keyboard and type in The Filthy City. .com. It's the homepage of Toronto-based poet and iPhone photographer and writer Michael Tremov. If you like nifty little photos, strange writings, go ahead and visit thefilthycity.com, which is, he's a poet, right? So he has artistic license, but Toronto's a very clean city. How is it filthy? You can only find out through the eyes of Michael Tremov at The Filthy City. Ew, you're gross. Clean it up, Toronto. Keep it dirty. They're getting a little restless. They got a fake band back there. They can't keep their paws.
You guys do some role playing.
No, I'll tell you what. Actually, I will do some role playing, and I'm going to role play somebody who didn't know that the friggin' greatest fantasy series of his life was around the corner, and then he discovered The Name of the Wind. Last time on the Weird Things podcast, we had Trey Ratcliffe. Since then, Trey and I went out to have some barbecue, and as we left, Trey was just like, hey, have you seen such and such series? And we started going back and forth. And then finally, I'm like, well, what should I read? And he was like, none of those. You should do Name of the Wind. And I was like, well, what do I need to know anything? And he says, no, you don't get to know anything. Name of the Wind, you're welcome. And full on, Name of the Wind may be my all-time favorite fantasy series I've ever read. And that includes Game of Thrones. That includes, that Ring thing trilogy. The Ring on a String trilogy by George R. Tolkien.
Ring-a-ding-ding, the trilogy.
Exactly. I'm telling you, to be honest, I don't know. You guys read the Dreaming Void trilogy, right?
Most of it. I did not.
Okay, well, the best parts of that series are all what takes place in the kind of fantasy side of the story, and that's what this whole story is. It's awesome. Name of the Wind is incredible. The guy who reads it on Audible is amazing, and you should stop listening to this right now and go do those.
Andrew leaves the microphone. Kimmy, Kim, and Fruitron, do you have anything that you would like to recommend to our lovely and handsome and beautiful listeners?
We do, actually. We are starring in a movie for 1 second, and it's called Death and Return of Superman. So you can see us.
You guys are in it?
Hold on.
Yeah. Dude, it's actually really, really funny.
I've seen it.
Landis.
I love it.
We watched the hell out of it. You guys were in that?
Yeah, our friend Max wrote that, and he also wrote the screenplay for Chronicle, which just got sold.
Holy
so if you guys
crap.
go see Chronicle, and go and watch Death and Return of Superman, because those
you guys,
are all of our buddies.
You guys were in it? It was awesome. We loved it.
What were you guys in? So people who are watching it after they
If you look at the thumbnail, that's my leg in the thumbnail, where Mandy Moore screams, he's not Clark Kent. He's Superman.
If you blink, you'll miss.
Yeah, but we went to William Morris and saw ourselves really big for 1 second. But
so that's your most prominently featured as legs.
Well, no, we're in it, but I'm in the thumbnail. That's my leg on the left hand side of that.
So where in the video can people see your face? Thumbnail
on YouTube.
Wait,
the guy. Yeah.
Wait, what did you say?
What?
Which scene are you guys in where people can see your faces? Dude, chat and not realm will just have it in like 5 seconds.
Yeah, tell them to have it. It's the part where when Superman is dying and he's lying on the ground. Mandy Moore is coddling him and saying,
"Blah blah 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 blah."
He's Clark. His name's not Clark. It's Superman. That part.
Okay, gotcha. Well, everybody knows that's right at the beginning of it, but I love that. It's like 16 minutes, but it's brilliant and awesome.
So we can verify.
I get this photo of her with Mandy Moore and asking me some silly trivia question thing or whatever.
We wanted to know where the Hollywood. You tweeted out, "Oh, they're building a Hollywood sign in a garbage dump in Florida," and I was reading it as we were like driving, and I said, "Oh, where's the Hollywood sign in Florida?" And Mandy Moore says, "Where is the Hollywood sign in Florida?" And you never texted me back and made me look like an ass.
Okay.
Wow. You made Mandy Moore pissed off at Fruits Run, Andrew, by your negligence. How does that feel?
What's funny is
Andrew Maine was the lifeline. You know, like you get a.
Oh yeah, you were the lifeline, and I was like, "Oh, don't have anything to say to you, famous girl." But Mandy Moore had to drive us two around because I was too lazy to drive, and we all looked at each other, and she was like, "I guess I'll drive," and I was like, "Yeah." So we had like jumped in her car, and she had to drive us around the whole day in Los Angeles while we filmed that.
Woo!
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's us right there. Hall & Oates.
So our audio listeners, we've just got a Hall & Oates cover with Neutron and Kim Kim's face on.
You like that?
Wow, that's shockingly close. That's amazing.
That is pretty good. There's a lot of Hall & Oates lookalikes on this
podcast. Those are their picks. Justin, yours?
I would say were you going to do Chronicle, Andrew, or were you going to do something else?
I think they kind of did it. So.
Did they already do Chronicle?
No.
Because I really like Chronicle. I'll do Chronicle real quick. So here's the deal. Chronicle is a movie that I didn't think I was going to like. I thought it looked like crap, to be honest with you. I really, personal taste, I'm not a huge found footage guy. I don't see a found footage movie and immediately think, oh, that's a cool concept. But I was actually swayed to really go see that movie despite the positive reviews that it got after its first week, ironically, after I watched that video that Kimmy Kim and Fruit Runner in, the Death and Return of Superman, that the screenwriter Max Landis did. And I was like, wow, this guy definitely is obviously very passionate about superhero stuff. And I guess that's what informs this movie that is a superhero origin story. I thought it was fantastically well told. I think if you are not a fan of found footage movies, there is a lot of kind of commentary on that genre itself within the movie, which I found very, very interesting. And it found really, really cool ways to eliminate what I find annoying about that genre, i.e. shaky cam and some of the, you know, reasons why a camera's on, you know, in various very important scenes. So I really loved it. I thought that all the actors were great. The writing was fantastic. The movie was very well paced. And I am very happy to say that I was as loud wrong with my first expectations on what it was going to be. So go check it out. Chronicle. It's all up in your theater, right? Gosh,
ah!
Oh, God.
Oh, God. What?
All right. What? So, Bonnie, do you have a pick?
You have a mustache to wear, too? I was highly amused by the Judy Moody film that came out. Like, it was like they had this crazy aunt that comes in. I'm like, wait, That's me. A little exaggerated, but that's kind of like me. And then Judy Moody is Penelope, and it was interesting.
That's right. With the Heather Graham.
And they had Sasquatch.
All right, we've got the. I'm told that this is the footage. I'm told that this is the moment.
There we are. Stand up.
Yeah, pan up. Woo!
There you guys are. Well done.
So for all the audio listeners, give the time code. What is the time
code? Looks like 6 minutes, 19 seconds.
Here we go. Check it out. 6 minutes, 19 seconds. Gimme Kim and Fruit Trot all up in the Death and Return of Superman.
That's it.
Yeah.
Andrew?
My pick, and I will second everything that Justin said about Chronicle. Absolutely loved it. Not only did I have this disdain for a found footage film, you know, the idea of trying to tell a superhero story that way, I have a little jealousy on my part when I saw that trailer. It's like, I wanted to do something like that. And then, so I was really prepared to hate it in every single possible way. Absolutely loved it. But I'm not here to talk about Chronicle. I am going to talk about, very briefly, a film I went through, been digging through, like going back and watching DVDs that I haven't seen in forever, and decided to pull one out that I probably hadn't seen in 5 or 6 years. And I really enjoyed it, even watching it again. And that's the movie Gladiator, starring Russell Crowe.
Part of the reason why
I dug that movie is that, you know, Ridley Scott, I think, is a great, great filmmaker. Some of his stuff I really dig. Some of it I go, like, it's really well composed, but maybe it doesn't strike a chord with me. But what I loved about that movie was the detail, was the attention that he put into that, and trying to tell the story about things that, you know, it didn't happen like that, but it's still where it is sort of true is very, very good. And I really enjoyed that movie because he really did want to do kind of a neat depiction of what gladiator fighting was like at that period in time. The scale of everything. And it's amazing when you listen to him talk about the details he left out. And Justin and I were talking about this, like gladiators used to endorse products. You know, you would get a gladiator to endorse, you know, if you had a, you know,
sandals,
sandals, wine, they would do the same thing our sports heroes do today. And he couldn't put that in the movie because people would think that he was doing a parody of sports today. And gladiator combat's fascinating because you had free men would become gladiators because of the glory. Women wanted to sleep with the handsomest gladiators because these guys were the celebrities of that period. And you had, you know, people who said, you know, tired of sort of not getting the sort of, you know, attention that the celebrities have. And that was a way for you to do that was by becoming a gladiator. So Gladiator, my recommendation is a Gladiator movie, boys and girls.
Joaquin Phoenix needs to play more villains.
Yeah. Yes.
Joaquin Phoenix is a great villain. He never plays villains anymore.
He just plays rappers. What's up with that?
Jigga what?
That movie was kind of sad. Where he does coke with the two strippers. Am I allowed to say coke?
It's too real, man. It's too real.
Yeah.
You're talking about the Casey Affleck faux documentary with.
Yeah. That's just stupid.
It's the, oh God, I can't believe we followed you around doing all these drugs. Now we have to say it was fake.
Yeah. But it was absolutely real. I mean, I was there. What?
I was there for an episode of that.
Only at the 6:19 mark of the movie are you guys in there.
If you go to 6:20, you've gone too far.
Exactly. On the poster, you can see him doing a rail, and it's Kimmy Kim's leg in the frame. All right. Well, we have our recommendations. What do you say we ride this pony on home?
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been our special Valentine's episode of Weird Things. I'd like to thank Ms. Bonnie Brushwood, Kimmy Kim, Fruitron for joining us. Ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you, Andrew Maine and everyone else.
Thank you, sirs and ma'am.
Brian, Justin, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Burp, bro.
It's been weird.
Sponsor the podcast? Do you have $30? If so, go to weirdthings.com/sponsor and you can have Justin say whatever you want. He's a trained ape.